The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 770-563-3770-KMED. By the way, my email is bill@billmyershow.com. Hey, question I have for you this morning. How often do you use checks? Are you still using a lot of checks these days in your financial transactions? I might write one a month, you know, occasionally. I used to even pay the mortgage with checks. I stopped that. I ended up doing that. So practically everything are just direct bank transfers and everything. Everything I do is with pretty much there. I noticed, though, that Target just announced that it's no longer going to accept personal checks from customers. Now, I don't shop at Target anyway, but this is yet another one. Retail giant says its new policy goes into effect July 15th and that very few customers pay by check these days. And Target says it'll affect other forms, or accept, rather, other forms of payment, such as credit and debit cards, digital wallets, and, of course, cash. Well, I'm glad they're at least going to accept cash. That part's good. I'm actually all right with that. Federal Reserve noticing a steady decrease in the amount of personal checks written over the past few years. In fact, almost the only people that I will write checks to are businesses that, small mom-and-pop businesses that I deal with all the time. They know me, and it's a personal relationship, and it's no big deal. Like, I'll have my mechanic. I'll go to a mechanic or something like that. I've done that in the past. Or someone's doing my yard work, or, if they come in and they do some tree trimming and things like that, then there seems to be no problem. They know me. They know where I live, and there's no question about it. So they drop something off, and I'll give them a check. But other than that, I don't think I would accept checks from anyone that I didn't really know, even with ID. It's just not, it just doesn't make sense at this point. Of course, the push then to get everything with swipe fees and doing debits and or credit cards is that the cost of the swipe fee is continuing to go up. And I'm listening to small business people that are telling me that the swipe fees, 3%, 3.5%, 4% in some cases, and it's just insane. And that's a part of the financial racket as far as I'm concerned. The beauty of cash is that there's rarely, relatively little cost for the handling. By the way, do you remember how we have been conditioned by our overlords? Our overlords, our betters, the World Economic Forums. Cash is bad because cash funds, terrorism and criminals use cash and this and that and the other. And then, what are you hearing right now in the news about all of the online credit card, debit card, and bank frauds that were going on? In fact, the news yesterday here, Town Hall, was just talking about it. The incredible growth of online fraud going after senior citizens and various other people. They'll call them on the phone, get access to bank accounts, everything else, and there's so much of it. They can't even go after it. Someone steals your cash, and usually you can still get the cop to go after it, But someone does something from, you have the Nigerian prince scam that you fell for. I don't know if anyone's still falling for that. I still get those emails every now and then. But they condition you to go online, and yet it's easier to steal online than just about anything else. 770-563-3. Anyway, it's just a little pebble in my shoe. Cash is dirty. Cash is bad. Cash is private. I think that's what they really hate about it more than anything else. It's 18 after 7, but what's on your mind? It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. We'll go to the phones. I haven't screened anything, so we're just taking you live without a net. Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. And who is this?
This is Miner Dave.
Dave, wonderful. Welcome. What's on your mind?
Huh? I have a report to give, and then the other one is I don't get forgiveness on my fines from that because there is no forgiveness. All I can do is get the...
Oh, okay. Now, just for people who just joined me, now, you ended up going in jail a number of years ago living on your mining claim, right? This is a big deal, and they fined you for this, a lot of money, and you're on disability, and you need some help to try to find someone to discharge this so they're not dinging your Social Security, right? Or your disability.
I found somebody, and they looked it up, and there is no hardship, and they're under the federal law, and I owe it until it's paid off.
Ah.
They found in the same law I could get it reduced to $25 a month.
Okay, how much do you owe them right now again?
About $1,500 to $2,000.
Okay.
I think is what's
Dave, left. I'm telling you again, start a give, send, go sort of thing. Do an online thing. I'll donate to you to try to get rid of your $1,500 debt, okay, to the federal government. I will donate if you set up the account, okay?
Yeah, I just got one more thing. There was a fire out here. I think it's called the Busywick Fire, and it was pretty good-sized one yesterday. It's they had parts of they were doing evacuations over by Agar-Busywick in some places.
Now, is this the 4,000? I just forgot the name of the fire.
I don't know how big the fire.
There's the 4,000 acre fire in Siskiyou County. Is that the one?
Well, there's two actually. There's one out by what they call the Sheldon Fire. Mm-hmm. That one's 4,000 acres, I think. This one over here, I think it's in the several hundred acres. And it started day before yesterday, but to get any information on it is really hard.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We'll have Greg on in about 40 minutes. He's going to check in for the quick fire update. We'll ask him, okay? Thanks, Dave. Let me go to line two here, okay? It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill. It's Wild Salmon.
Steve, what's on your mind?
Oh, on the Czech thing, it seems like the World War II era people think that Czechs are safer. And, you know, I used to work at a bank, and I used to talk to people about what they did. I was a financial advisor, and people don't understand that by giving someone a Czech, you give them your account number, your routing number, a lot of times even have your address, maybe even your phone number.
Oh, yeah, it's the keys to the kingdom. It's keys to the kingdom there, right? Really?
Absolutely. It's less safe to use a check than it is to use a credit card, not a debit card, but a credit card. So, and
by the way, don't use a debit card for online purchases because there's not enough protection there. Okay.
Absolutely. So use your credit card and then monitor your credit card to see that something doesn't pop up because you can dispute those.
I had so much problem. Remember a few months ago when I was always getting hacked on eBay and various other things, and I had to go with dual authentication, and I never leave anything open any longer. And every single transaction that goes through my credit card, Steve, I have it notifying me on a text message every time. Because, you know, there are times that they hack that. And I remember there was some clown up in Portland that I knew Portland police were never going to go about it. But he got access to my money and was like buying $1,000 worth of hard drives and camera equipment. And there's nothing I could do about it. And Portland police was kind of like, oh, okay, have a nice day. You know, that kind of thing. So, had to do that.
Well, that's just the world we live in, my friend.
Yeah, but remember, cash funds all the criminals, right? Yeah.
Mm. Well, yeah, and you can't use cash to buy stuff from Amazon, so you got to...
All right. Hey, appreciate the call there, Steve. Thanks for the take, as always. Let me go to line three. It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello, hello. 1, 2, 3.
Hello?
Oh, it's Gene. Go ahead, Gene.
Okay. Like I said earlier, all of this talk against Biden, when President Trump was being harassed and attempted to frame for everything in the world, they got sympathy. The people went on his side. Well, Biden being attacked, isn't that buying a sympathy from the people?
Oh, so you're thinking that... maybe the attack on the feebleness and everything else might boomerang and help him.
It's a possibility because there is people that will stick with him because of it.
Well, you know, that might make sense. That might make sense, Gene, for the seasoned citizen vote, you know, in the Democratic Party. But for everybody else, the look of a feeble and get off my lawn old man behavior, I don't know if that's necessarily helping with most everybody else. Would you agree or disagree with me on that?
It's impossible to say because some people it might just work on because they don't pay enough attention to anything else.
Well, that could be. Appreciate the call, Gene. Thanks for that. 770-5633. Pebble in your shoe Tuesday. We have open phones. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hello. All right. No big thing here, but I just wonder, the last 2 months or so, I see that so many websites now are saying, like Fox News and Yahoo, you know, some of the other ones are, you can't really log on to all articles unless you sign up and give them your email and so forth and mm-hmm. so on.
Yeah, a lot of that is also, especially with Fox, or a place that will let you comment, they want some way of contacting you. And I'm sure it also has to do with marketing, too, putting you on lists, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, isn't that basically when you sign up, I'm just asking, but isn't that basically a volunteer to spam into eternity?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Your phone's cutting out on me a little bit here.
Okay, I'll try this. Isn't giving your email like a volunteering be spammed into eternity?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah, so I don't know. I like your idea of Internet 2.0.
Yeah. Now, let's take a look at, just for fun, you talked about spamming. Let me go to my email box here. Let's go to spam. You know, most of the time I just go through it just to make sure there's nothing legit in there. But let's see. Emily Winston, your state is the worst for older adult falls. Experts interviews available. Kamala Harris wrote me here. Time-sensitive request. Will you show you have Joe's back by pitching in $20? All right. No. let me see here. New York Sun. Kudlow. Trump's pro-growth America First platform. Okay. Fast web. Cellular for free. Plus fiber. Okay. In euros. Priced in euros. I'm sure it's legit, Tom. All right. No problem here.
Yeah, the whole 9 yards. And another thing that's
Wait a minute. I got to respond to this one. AdamSchiff.com.
Oh, okay.
AdamSchiff.com. $1 per week becomes $20 by election day. Yikes. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to distract you.
Yeah, spam, you know, shift happens. another thing that's going on is getting these messages, your computer's been infected by malware. Do not shut off your computer. Call this number. Do this, do that. That's another thing that seems to be exploding.
Oh, I know. Those are browser hacks. They're not real, but they can really scare people.
I
know smart people that have fallen for that. And when someone says, Microsoft calls me. No, Microsoft never called you. I assure you. It did not happen. Appreciate the call. Share your frustrations. Pebble in your shoe Tuesday. Let me go to next line. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. This is Todd Central Point.
Hi, Todd.
What's my beef? What sticks in my craw?
Yeah.
You were just talking about check fraud. I was just sitting in a bank yesterday. I have a business account at Chase, and we have two debit cards attached to it. And they each have their own separate number. One of these debit cards has never left a safe in my house. Mm-hmm. It's never been used, ever, ever, ever. And yet, back in January, we get this notification that some food was purchased at Giant Stadium in San Francisco, where, of course, we weren't even in that state. So I go into the bank, and I talk to them about it. And they said, Visa verifies that the chip was used, but the purchase was made online. I said, wait a minute, how does the chip get used and the purchase is made online? But they said, no, this is proven that you used it. And it's like, excuse me. I have proof that I was in the – no, you have to provide proof that you were not at Giant State. Like, excuse me.
How do you go about proving a negative other than that, proving that I guess you could prove you were in Central Point. And you probably do that. Like, I'm at work when this is happening. How did that happen? Right? Maybe?
But this is very, very concerning. It's just that they've made the decision that you're not telling the truth. And – there are no purchases on this card ever for years prior or after, but you're just on the hook. And it was only for a small amount of money. But if they can reach into your checking account and just take any amount. And I said, well, what if we put notifications? Well, we already have a notification. But so even if they ping you and say, oh, by the way, they just took, $5,000 out of your checking account, they wouldn't care. They said, no, you were there. So you wouldn't be entitled to your money back. So
someone essentially somehow cloned your chip card. Yeah, and remember the chip card, the RFID chip card there was supposed to be the holy grail of preventing fraud.
Well, you know what? I could see if you used the card and there was a skimmer, which is a scam that's out there. That's why I would never use a debit card to begin with, other than if I'm walking into a bank. But this was Chase, so it's a huge company. I'm sure that they're focused on scammers. So I'm still working my way through it, both with Chase and Visa, and I will let you know how it pans out. And I'll mention one other little thing. I noticed a notification in Jacksonville at the library is supposedly a crime. I forget. I'll butcher it. Some kind of crime prevention meeting in their room there, and they're going to be city representatives. So between 4:30 and 5:30 tonight, I guess there's a lot of crime in Jacksonville. If you want to find out about it, go check it out.
All right. Hey, appreciate the tip. Thank you. It is 7:30. Let me go to next line. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hello. Good morning. Who's this?
Hello, this is Mark.
Who's this now? Hey, Mark, you know, I'm having some problems with the phone. Could everyone who's online here, give me about a minute. I'm going to restart the phone and figure out what's going on here. When I hear this kind of warbly thing that I can't understand anybody, it's usually an internet phone situation. So give me a call back here in just a moment, folks. We'll get it reset. We'll also have Herman checking in a bit, too.
If you're a business owner, you know time is money. As a business owner myself, I know that your time is best spent working within your business. Hi, it's Megan McPherson, your local Farmers Insurance agent. Allow me the opportunity to put my years of experience to work for you, helping with your insurance needs. Give my office a call at 541-776-0673 to start the conversation. That's 541-776-0673. A straightforward and personalized approach is what you'll get when you choose me, Megan McPherson, as your insurance agent.
The Medford Rogues have a full home slate this week. Pacific Empire League action starts with a three-game series versus the Solano Mudcats Tuesday through Thursday. Then another three-game homestand is scheduled Friday through Sunday against the Lincoln Potters. Gates open at 6:45, first pitch at 7:35. Enjoy Chick-fil-A Tuesday, Rogue Credit Union All-You-Can-Eat Hot Dog Wednesday, and Thirsty Thursdays. Get tickets, schedules, and learn more about promotions online at MedfordRogues.com or call the box office and pick up your tickets before the game. Once again, MedfordRogues.com.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Wrencher Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
Rule number one, if you're looking to sell a home, choose a local real estate agent. Hey, it's Lars. And why? It starts with an overall knowledge of the area. But even more importantly, a local agent is a friend and neighbor who cares about the community just as much as you do. In the Medford area, that'd be my good friend Jared Hokanson of Hokanson Realty. Jared's a native of the Pacific Northwest, and his wife Colette is a former Oregon Young Mother of the Year. The Hokansons love Southern Oregon so much, they decided to raise their family there. If you're thinking of selling, Jared Hokanson guarantees to sell your home. And if he can't get it sold at a price and deadline you both agreed to, Jared will buy it himself. Some restrictions do apply. Find out what your property is worth for free and instantly. 541-772-SOLD.com. Call Jared today at 541-772-SOLD. That's 541-772-7653. Jared Hokanson of Hokanson Realty.
106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
It is 7:34. Yeah, Francine, let's see if we got any better luck on the phone system. I sat there and rebooted you. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Okay, well, we still have a little bit of that going on. We'll have to just kind of power through it. What's on your mind, huh? What do you think?
Well, two things. One, just a quick comment regarding the debit card thing. I have two accounts. I have my regular debit card that I might use when I'm in store, but when I order anything online, I have another account where I keep a minimal amount of money in it, so that if anybody messes with it, they're not going to get much.
Okay, I'm having trouble understanding you. I'm sorry. Yeah,
right.
I got the waterfall problem. I'm going to have to do a little bit of worker figuring. There must be some kind of outage that I'm unaware of here. I don't know. For all I know, it could be what's going on with maybe with fire and maybe some power problems or something. I don't know. Live with technology, die with technology sometimes. We'll see. News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here is what's going on. More hot weather today with a high of 108 expected in the area, along with poor air conditions due to smoke. Temperatures are expected to hit at least 100 degrees daily through the weekend. The Salt Creek fire burning northeast of Medford near Lake Creek in Jackson County was held to 1,500 acres Monday despite increased fire activity last night. That fire is now 40% contained. Air and ground resources aggressively attacked the fire as more adverse weather picked up Monday afternoon. A 20-year-old man allegedly shot and killed two teenage sisters in Klamath Falls. Elijah Croy allegedly told police he tried to kill the girl's father in a Klamath Falls house June 29th after the dad discovered Croy in his daughter's bedroom. The gun failed to fire when Croy shot at Toshka Qualls, but did fire when he then shot the man's daughters, Alika and Zion Qualls, killing them both. Croy's been charged with two counts of first-degree murder and one count of attempted murder. Bill London, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Downgraded to a tropical depression, former Hurricane Beryl continues moving inland from the Gulf Coast, dumping a lot of rain as it goes. Arkansas has been getting drenched this morning. Last the storm, roughly 40 miles west of Little Rock. The storm is responsible for a handful of deaths in Texas and at least one in Louisiana. The House Democrat leadership bringing out the big guns to oppose a Republican bill would require proof of U.S. citizenship in order to vote in federal elections. President Biden planning a rare news conference Thursday, one at which he will apparently take reporters' questions unscripted. And today, former President Trump holds another of his freewheeling rallies. This one will take place at his golf club in Doral, Florida. On Wall Street, the Dow down 154 points. The Nasdaq trading 53 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Government debt is now exploding by an unprecedented $1 trillion every 90 days. Think of that. It's a clear sign that our nation's finances are spinning out of control, and it's putting the savings of every one of you at risk. Hello, I'm Lance Wallnau, a news analyst and best-selling author and an evangelical leader. I'm deeply concerned about the impact this runaway debt is going to have on Christians like you who have worked hard to build your own nest egg for your family. To protect your financial future in these uncertain times, you need to diversify with something tangible and proven, like physical gold. That's why I recommend a gold IRA. To learn more, text FAITH to the number 989898, and my friends at Birch Gold Group will rush you a free info kit on how to move your IRA or 401k to physical precious metals, tax and penalty free. So don't wait. Just text the word FAITH to 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs. Birch Gold Group is the only company I trust. There's no obligation. So text FAITH to 989898, and I pray this information helps you achieve prosperity and peace of mind.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands. So if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
Well, you know, it's Orly Stove and Spas we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why. You ought to stop and see our friend.
Hey, Lamont here. It's time to spring into summer with a new splash around pool from Orly's. Don't get caught high and dry this summer. Come into Orly's now and purchase your new pool before they are all gone. Splash Around pools are easy to assemble on most any level surface, and they can be assembled in about an hour with no tools required. Whether it's a spa, swim spa, or above ground pool, Orly's Stoves and Spas has something for everyone. Come in to ask us about our Orly's easy financing programs. And for those of you considering a wood or pellet stove for next season, come in to ask us about our current 30% tax credit on qualifying wood stoves, pellet stoves, and installation. Orly's Stoves and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway. or find us online at Orleys.com or at 541-779-5340.
Who'll Stop the Rain is a classic 1970 hit from Creedence Clearwater that reached number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Pop Singles chart. While Millett Construction doesn't know the answer to John Fogerty's question, they do know how to fix your home's foundation if moisture is making it unstable. So don't worry about clouds of mystery pouring confusion on the ground. Millett will fix your foundation, level your house, and solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Visit MillettConstruction.com for a free consultation.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone with Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on KMED.
20 before 8, Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschiger is joining the program. Good morning, Herman. Welcome back, as always.
Good morning, and what a wonderful morning, but I think it's going to heat up again.
Yeah, 107, 108, somewhere in there. Hey, I'm kind of curious, did the smoke from what happened with the salt fire here yesterday, did that affect Josephine County, or did that stick mostly in Jackson? I wasn't sure where the wind was taking it or not. Did it hurt you at all?
Yeah, we haven't seen any yet. I've seen some very high up in the sky, but nothing down low.
Okay, yeah, we had some sketchy air quality there for a while, and today it's supposedly going to be better. We'll just have to see about that. You think overall it's, and I know in your business you've also had the that business for years on fighting fire. You think it's going to be a worse fire season overall if you were a betting man? What do you think?
Well, you know, the conditions are there. Things are starting to burn, and live fuels are starting to burn, so it's pretty typical. Always remember, you can have the worst conditions in the world. If you don't have the starts, you don't have the fires.
Yeah.
You got to have those. But, you know, I sit back and I listen to people and the armchair, all this. And look, things are not going to change. It's going to be like this year for a long, long time, for the simple reason is the fuel loadings haven't changed. They're getting worse. And as long as you have fuels and you have conditions that will drive those fuels to the point of ignition, you're going to have fires. And that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm. And we've decided we've also decided that we're not going to do a lot of mechanical removal, right? Would that be a fair assessment the way it works these days? Everything is about just burning the land, but how much of the land can you really burn when you have millions upon acres of forest out there?
Modern forest management just replaces fire. That's just how it works. That's the easiest way to look at it.
But the thing is, though, we don't really manage forests, do we? We don't really manage forests, are we, really, down here?
No, and that's why we went the last 100 years, you know, we're managing forests, plus we had the suppression policies, you know, out by 10. And so we went all these years and either we manage the forest or Mother Nature will. Okay. She has always managed the forest and her tool is fire. We can manage the forest and our tool is modern technology. So that's how you have it. You know, people try to make it much more complicated than it is. But as long as you have forests, you're going to have fires. And when you take the management out, you're going to have more fires.
I remember how it got to the point where people were really upset with the timber industry. And they were, you know, supportive of the spotted owl agenda, which ended up being a racket. Like people were even concerned that it was a racket back at that point, put out there by the leftists and the bedwetters and such. And yet, yet when it comes right down to it, a clear cut is not all that different from Mother Nature just burning down the forest, is it? Honestly?
That's exactly. We remove all the fuel in a clear cut. We remove all the fuel. And what fuel that we've left, we burn it, and then we reseed it. So it's just an accelerated process of what Mother Nature does.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, there's some economic problems. We don't have the demand for wood fiber that we used to. So after World War II, we were rebuilding Europe, and there was a huge, huge demand for wood fiber. And so that's what really drove the timber industry in the Pacific Northwest. So since then, there's not as much demand, And the other side is countries all over the world now are in the wood fiber business that we're not in. I mean, you have Australia producing it now, South America, Africa, and we didn't have those markets, you know, 50, 60 years ago. It was pretty much confined to the Pacific Northwest, United States, and Canada. So the economic situation has changed, and we don't have the demand for the fiber as we used to. But the bottom line is, Bill, there's more tons per acre, and as long as there's more tons per acre, it is going to cure to the point to where it can be ignited, and we're going to have fires.
And when politicians talk about getting back in the woods, they can't really be serious then, really. Is that what I'm hearing?
You know, it all helps, but there's no absolute cure right now. Mm-hmm. It's just how it's going to be. As long as there's been forests, there's been fires. So that's just how it is.
All right. Herman Barachecker, of course, Josephine County Commissioner. Wanted to talk about another area, yet another area that nobody wants logged. And this has to do with the Pipe Fork land. And I noticed that you've been taking, you as the board has been taking some incoming over having not sold that land yet. And I guess the push has been to sell this to a conservation group, and then the conservation group wants to sell it to the BLM. Is that kind of what I'm understanding here, if you just want to set the table?
So let's start with the rules of the road. Josephine County has to put all land sales up through auction, with the exception of nonprofits, and that's by state statute. Isn't that interesting?
I find it interesting how the nonprofit rackets always end up getting some favorable treatment politically. Gotta love it.
Oh, we're going to have a conversation one day about nonprofits because they're out of control anymore. Anyway, so that's how we got rid of the Sportsman Park. We basically sold it for a dollar to the Sportsman Association to get rid of that. Well, now Josephine County also has almost 40,000 acres of timberlands that we manage, and the proceeds from those timberlands go to help fund the county, primarily with the justice, juvenile, and some other things. So we got about 1,600 acres out in Cave Junction. There's a 320-acre park and some a part of it. And some people from the Williams area said, look, we don't want that logged. It's very special. It's the Pipe Fork Creek, and there's a little waterfall up there and stuff. And
okay,
this is special to Williams and clean water and all those talking points, okay? So at first I was like pretty reluctant, and so I said, okay, well, let's do an appraisal on it. So we did an appraisal on it, and it's almost $3 million. And so they came up, they said, well, we're going to get this conservation group, and they'll put up $2.1 million. And then we said, well, that's not enough money because our charter says that we have to utilize our land to the highest value, so we can't be, you know, just getting rid of it. So I told them, I said, you know what, find some more money, and so they did. So it brought it up to about $2.32 million.
So they're getting closer, but remember, this is property valued at about $3 million. Okay.
Yeah. So anyways. All right, so I said, and other commissioners have also said, okay, well, we can do that. And the plan is this conservation group buys it, and then they sell it to BLM. Because we can't sell it to BLM. We can sell it to the conservation group, the nonprofit group, and they can sell it to BLM, but we can't sell it to BLM. So anyways, here we go. We're going down this road.
All right, I'm going to ask a dumb question. Is there no one in the private sector that would want to buy this?
Oh, yes. Yes, there is. We've had people testify that they're interested in the private sector, but that would have to go to bid, okay?
Okay, well, why not let it go to bid then, other than the fact that it would get people upset that, you know, their precious sacred land would be logged, I guess.
Exactly. So now we're going down this road, and so I just, you know, everything is kind of streamlined, and we're going to get this done, and the plan is conservation group. They put in their money. The private money comes in. They purchase the land from Josephine County, and then they'll take it and sell it to BLM. So I thought, well, you know, we've never heard from BLM. So we had BLM come in and talk.
And remember, we have to remember that the purpose of selling this land, this Pike Fork land, was that it would not be logged, period, right, in perpetuity.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. And I asked BLM, can you guarantee that this land will be remain open to the public and not be logged? And the BLM says, well, kind of. They would not give us a letter saying that it would always remain open to the public and not be in logged. Well, now the people testifying in Pike Fork, and remember, it's not a lot of people. I went back in the minutes and looked, and it's about 25, 30 different individuals. They've testified multiple times, mm-hmm. but it's not. Well, now all of a sudden, the Pike Fork people says, well, we really don't care. One person got up and testified, says, I don't care if they lock it up forever, as long as it's preserved. So
it's really not about keeping it public. This is the typical gangrene way of we want Oregon to be so special that no one can ever see it, right?
Right. And so now they said they're not, you know, Commissioner DeYoung says, well, you know, BLM has to, you know, selective log, you know, the health of the forest. And I says, wait a second. The conversation 3 years ago is not being logged. Now, all of a sudden, I mean, that was the concern, is they did not want Josephine County to log it. Now they're saying, well, we're okay if BLM logs it. And so I'm just scratching my head.
Okay. All right. Now, wait a minute. So the whole purpose was to preserve this, right? This is what the whole Pike Forks drama was all about, preserving it, making sure that no evil chainsaw ever got run and no evil corporation was ever profit from this gentle Pike Fork waterfall land, right? That's essentially what started this all, right? Isn't that
exactly?
All right. So now the people that wanted it preserved are not saying, well, we don't care if the people can't get access to it. Well, isn't this just the typical green lock up everything away from people sort of movement that's been going on? And why would Josephine County take part in that?
Well, and there's no certainty that this conservation group is even going to sell it to BLM. They have a memorandum of understanding, but there's nothing there. That's just kind of a handshake deal. And so what I'm worried, kind of what my concern is now is, one, it will not remain open to the public. And two is the conservation group could sell it to another conservation group, say like the Nature Conservancy, mm-hmm. and they can lock it up and nobody goes there because it's private property. Hmm. All right? So there's none of these guarantees. And these Pike Fork people, this Williams community group, they keep saying, oh, that won't happen, that won't happen, that won't happen. And I keep saying, look, if it's not on paper, then you have no control. So I suggested putting a deed restriction in there, and just like we did with the Sportsman Park. There's a deed restriction in the Sportsman Park, and what it says is that any time the property does not remain open to the public for public use, it reverts back to the county. And so I would put
now that would be okay. So that way, if you were to sell the property, then with that deed restriction to the Williams Group, the Pike Fork people that are supposedly so worried about this, and if it's no longer, and if it goes over to BLM and BLM closes it, or if it goes to Nature Conservancy and then they close it, then it goes back to the county. It's null and void, right? Okay.
And if the whole object was to preserve this and keep it open to the public because it's a very tranquil, unique place to go, that's hey, just rewind the tape, Bill, and look at the testimony over the last 3 years. This is what they were saying all the time. And now they've changed the tune. Now it's just, we don't care, just sell it to BLM.
So, all right. Now, let me just give you a suggestion, okay? Given that, you know, the whole world is run by the nonprofit rackets right now, and I continue to call them rackets. I know there are some well-run ones. Don't get me wrong. I shouldn't tar everyone with it. But it ends up being the grift of choice today. You know, government-favored nonprofit entities, okay? Did you hear how the other week we had some people working the grift here in Southern Oregon with what they called Oxygen Park? Did you hear about that? What they're doing with a swampy?
I don't have all the details.
Okay, but you heard about it. It's a swampy section of Medford, and the bums are hanging out on it right now. They're trying to move it, but essentially they're going to have the corporations. I have no doubt this is going to be like a greenwashing sort of thing where they pay the people that own the Oxygen Park, you know, in perpetuity to continue to suck carbon dioxide out of the air and put oxygen into the air, right? That sort of thing. And no doubt corporations will pay for this. Why doesn't Josephine County just run Pipefork land like the nonprofit rackets will do, like Oxygen Park type stuff? Why don't you just do that? And then you could have corporations pay the county money each year in order to keep that land in perpetuity in forest land. What do you think?
I don't think it'll work because we've already looked at that.
Oh.
We've already looked at taking our 40,000 acres of timberland and converted into carbon banks.
Yeah, like a carbon sink of sort. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And it just doesn't pencil. We make far more money managing it for timber currently.
Oh, okay.
And so we've already looked into that.
All right, Herman, I was trying. You can't blame me for asking, right?
No.
Okay.
So, you know, going back to this with the nonprofits, you know, unfortunately, the newspaper bill doesn't get the facts correct, and they're always trying to slant it. It's the commissioner's fault. It's the commissioners are putting up hurdles. I'm just saying, look, this is how the conversation started, and I'm trying to assure that it stays open to the public, and now they're fighting me against it. I don't know.
Well, what that means is that they never really wanted to keep that waterfall preserved for the public. They wanted kind of going into the gangrene lockup is what they're looking for. That's what they want.
Yeah. And I want to do the same thing for Pipe Fork that we did for the Sportsman Park out there, that 160 acres. And, you know, that's the interesting thing because, you know, we got so much grief from the newspaper that we're given.
Well, they were yelling at you saying that you gave away a whole lot of money, to the Sportsman Park.
$2.5 million. Well, you know, there was a conservation grant on that property that goes in perpetuity, and the only way to mitigate that, it was only for $11,000. Can you believe this?
Mm.
The only way we can mitigate is we have to move it to another piece of property, okay? And to do that, we have to do an appraisal because it has to be of equal value to the property. So we have to do a blue ribbon appraisal, which is only a certain amount of appraisers can do that for the federal government. And the interesting thing, after all this time and being...
And remember, all this drama and all these people criticizing you for giving away the Sportsman's Park land, right?
Yeah, and now the blue ribbon appraisal comes and says there's no value there.
So the land is worth nothing. Why is that?
Well, you're right, because it's a shooting range, and that's fine. There's no problem. You don't have to do any mitigation as long as it stays a shooting range for the lead contaminant. As long as it stays a shooting range, there's no problem. But if you were to sell it and change the use of that property, then the mitigation would exceed the value of the property, so there's no value. So, you know, Mr. Stoddard says we gave $2.5 million away. Sorry, Mr. Stoddard. And if you go rewind the tape, I said there's probably not much value here because of the lead mitigation. I've said it many times. So anyways, now we're proved correct. We were correct, and it was the right thing to do to get Josephine County out of that business of a shooting range. Our insurance company is very thankful we did that.
And we still have the shooting range there, but the liability is on then the people running the shooting range instead of the county itself. So, okay, that made sense. So back to Pipe Fork before you take off here.
Sure.
Is the goal to change, is the board now talking about seriously just putting a deed restriction on it that would have to remain open to the public?
That's going to be my position. I don't know what the other two commissioners want to do, but that's the only way I could possibly vote for it, is a deed restriction. And that goes back to the fundamental reason why we are going to sell it to to the conservation group in the beginning. That's the only assurance that I could put on, and it'll be consistent with what the county has done on other parcels.
That sounds like a reasonable solution to this. And if the conservation groups are not open to that, that tells you that they never really were interested in keeping it open to the public. Seriously, I think it's something to keep in mind. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what their strategy and plans are, but it doesn't seem to be consistent with the original ask.
Josephine County Commissioner Herman Baritschager. Herman, always appreciate that. Keep us in the loop on that. We'll talk next week, okay? Thank you.
Take care, Bill.
It's 8 o'clock. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford KPXG Grants Pass at 99.3 FM. K290AF Rogue River, K294AS Ashland.